This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors of our dominant culture and parent with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out the last episode of Family Culture Movement with Joshua Shea. He is a recovered porn addict, and we talked about the dangers of porn addiction. Welcome to the show, Jennifer Bogard. Jennifer is a certified life coach through the Life Coach School, and that she became certified after the finalization of her own divorce in 2018. After a successful career for 15 years in human resources, her plan was to do leadership coaching. It was never her plan to become a poster child for divorce, but God had other plans. She began to feel that nudge in this direction, and now she can't imagine anything else. She has a private practice and is also a founding coach in the Virtuosa Coaching. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, Jody. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have you. And I'm excited to talk about this topic that we're going to go into. But first, I like to ask an icebreaker question. We just learn a little bit more about you. What did you want to be when you grew up as a kid? What were you thinking about when you were a kid?
Oh, gosh. Okay. The first thing that I feel like when I was a kid, like kid, I suffer from, CRS, can't remember. And then you can,
right.
So I feel you. The first thing that I can remember wanting to be was a physical therapist.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah. So,
okay.
Well, so I went to school for that. Cool. But the funny thing was, is I made A's and B's like effortlessly, except for in like math and science. And so that's what all the physical therapy stuff was. So that didn't work out for me.
That's so cool. That's so interesting. So how did that shape who you have become in this process? You went to the school, you discovered maybe that wasn't your thing.
I it was like a major shift, and I can remember like my boyfriend sitting me down like back, you know, when I was like 19, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to drop out. Like, this isn't going to work. And he was like, you just pick something. Like, here's the catalog, you know, back in the day. He was like, here's the catalog, pick something. And I'm like going through it. And I was like, him and I both worked at Target at that time. And I was like, well, the only job I'd want to do at Target is human resources.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to find something that was, so the closest thing I could find to human resources was training and development. And so I ended up majoring, I got a master's degree in training and development. And I actually feel like that did very much shape me into who I am today, because I feel like I'm a teacher at heart. Mm. And I think coaching is a balance between, you know, coaching and teaching. And so the teaching part comes really natural. The coaching part has been, you know, a practice and art.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so perfect. So what was a pivotal moment in your life that led you to this, what you're doing now? Tell us about that story.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that. And I mean, I think that this, I don't know, this probably sounds crazy, but it was in 2013. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I had been a stay-at-home mom for a little bit, you know, a couple of years. And I just really wasn't a very good stay-at-home mom in terms of it. I'm just not wired for that. I'm very much wired for progress and checking boxes and wanting to see what I've accomplished.
Make progress as a stay-at-home mom? No.
and sometimes you do, but many days you just don't see the progress in the immediate, right? So I just wasn't wired for that. But I ended up, and just in an effort for community and for having something to put my efforts towards, joining a direct sales company. And that, when I look back on my whole journey, I think that was actually probably one of the most pivotal things, because it was really a personal development company wrapped up in the product that we were selling. Mm-hmm. And so all of that just introduced me to so many teachers and mentors and coaches. It introduced me to the Life Coach School, where I ended up getting certified. And it really also just helped me to see that I was kind of white knuckling my way through my life.
Wow,
and so I think in many ways it led me ultimately to divorce. I mean, not immediately, it was several years later. But ultimately, I think that led me down that path. Mm-hmm. And I think it also, of course, led me to becoming a coach. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely say that was the most pivotal experience I can recall.
That's so awesome. I can definitely agree with that sentiment that running a business is personal development. And the business itself has to do with personal development, even more yes. so, I'm sure. But yeah, it's like been the biggest life-changing experience. And so that's awesome that you were able to go down that path of self-discovery and learn about yourself. And basically sounds like what you really want out of your life. And that's powerful. So few people, I think, realize that path. You know, finding what they want. And that's, you know, that's another big part of what my mission is I feel like when we understand how we're influenced by our family culture and the narratives and the norms that we grow up with, or we see in society, then we automatically want to like conform and fit within that mold. Right. But then when we wake up and we're going, wait, I've been fitting into this mold all my life. This isn't what I want. But then we go, what else is there? And so it's kind of scary to think what else is out there, but that's where the adventure begins, right?
That is so true.
Down that path.
Absolutely. Awesome. All the magic.
So that brings me to my question about understanding how your message fits in with family culture. And I like to ask this question of what is the, a generally accepted belief of the dominant culture that is dysfunctional, or, you know, something that is not serving families to understand when they're stuck in that mold.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'm a divorce coach, right? I work with divorced women. And so something, you know, it's very common after divorce to feel very powerless and to kind of have a victim lens, right? Mm-hmm. And to really be so aware of everything you've lost. And, you know, your financial stability, your purpose, your just so many things, right? Your worthiness. Sometimes you feel like you've lost your lovability, all of those things. And so oftentimes, you know, I feel like the focus will be on all of the things they've lost. And now my kids have to grow up in a broken home. And I think that that's the kind of the idea that is so, it just grieves me. Like this whole idea of, because we're divorced, we have a broken home. And I just really, I feel like I want to challenge that.
Mm-hmm. So even the belief, like if we're struggling and we're considering divorce, that we can't do that because we don't want to have a broken home.
Right. And I think that's probably a barrier in a lot of places. I mean, one of the things that I wholeheartedly believe is that kids are resilient and that they will be ultimately affected so much more by an ongoing, consistent household of tension and hurt and anger and all of the, you know, swirling negative emotion and, you know, modeling a relationship that you would never want for your kids more so than they would be by a divorce that came from a clean place where, you know, two people can split and
start over.
Kind of just start over and be well and, you know, have some semblance of wholeness in their own individual lives and then the new family life that they create in their individual homes.
Wow. That's so interesting. And I'm wondering if my listeners are going, why is Jody talking about divorce on a family culture podcast where my goal is really to encourage people to strengthen their families and have resilience in their families. But I think this is a really important conversation to have because I don't want to exclude, first of all, I don't want to exclude single parents from my audience. I don't want to exclude divorced parents from my audience, you know, because that's our reality, right? For a lot of people, it's a reality. When you say
50%,
exactly.
I mean, like, if you look at the statistics, so yeah.
But that doesn't exclude you from being able to have an intentional family culture. Definitely not. You know, you can have an individual family culture. Okay. Like this is the reality and that you're not excluded from having a great family environment just because you're alone or you're divorced or whatever it is. In fact, you can strengthen.
Family.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say a single parent family is still a family.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just another way that a family looks.
So, exactly. Yeah. So I ultimately, I was like,
let's have Jennifer on because I just think let's discuss this stigma around divorce and that it's something that the reality is if that's something that you've already is already in the picture and you're already having like a struggle in your family, then be intentional about what is truly going to serve your family. Right. Mm-hmm. And to be able to look at that, at the reality of the situation, how is your family truly going to benefit and ultimately, like ideally strengthen your family, heal together. Right. Ideally. Okay. So like we were saying beforehand, it's like, how do you try to erase the stigma around divorce without also sounding like you're trying to encourage divorce? Okay. Yeah. So what do we do? How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that it's so important there's a couple of things. So we were kind of making the parallel earlier about like, you know, with bankruptcy, right? Like it's another thing that is kind of like, you don't want it ever, but it can also be a new beginning and a new place to start. But as you move forward, like you're going to have to do things differently, right? And so in order to do that, you kind of have to recognize where you are, where you want to be, and what is the gap? Like, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, I mean, it's so important. I mean, well, first of all, I mean, the whole idea of brokenness just comes from, you know, in my opinion, it just really comes from people not prioritizing their own healing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get divorced and we go through this thing, which even when it is under the best of circumstances, it is still going to have far-reaching effects in your life. I always kind of use the metaphor of like a bomb going off.
Yeah.
It has literally touched every single part of your life. And I mean, even like for personally in my situation, it is the most amicable of situations. We had, you know, we both were mutual in our decision to get divorced. It was, you know, coming from a really clean place. And still yet my heart was broken.
Yeah.
And I think so often, you know, and I hear stories of people who have way worse situations, you know, than I do. I don't even think I'm the typical situation, but we don't prioritize our own healing. And so I always use this metaphor of like, if you had a broken leg, you wouldn't just try to power through and act like nothing happened and just get through the rest of your life with a broken leg. Like that wouldn't be an option. But when our heart is broken, we don't prioritize our healing. So that's really just what we have to do. I feel like in order to get to a place where we can intentionally create a new family unit and really see it from a place of wholeness and not from a vision of we are disadvantaged, we are different, we are less than, our home is broken. Mm-hmm. Like if you're believing that in your own spirit so strongly, then you can't help but convey that in your family and to your kids. And then they grow up believing the same things.
Right.
And so in order to get to a place where you can intentionally create what you want, there's a whole, you know, you just have to prioritize your healing. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So, okay. That's such an interesting, and I love that, you know, you brought up that whole philosophy around or comparison with bankruptcy. It's never something anybody wants to go through, but recognizing that if you get to that point, it's because you have to, you feel like you have to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I mean, the thought of spending however many decades trying to heal from that could be, oh, just too overwhelming. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's a powerful way to look at it. And it's sad to think that it happens, but at the same time, like when it does happen I think that with either, whether it's you going through it or you're witnessing somebody else go through it, recognizing and acknowledging that if you're getting to that point, that there's no reason to judge. Like, let's just love you. Let's just love this person through this process. Love myself through this process. That, like you're saying, this isn't something that I want to just power through. I want to actually start over and heal. I want to get the right kind of help. And so that was one of my questions about it, was like, do people wait until the bomb goes off to start healing? Or when can we start acknowledging that when is it time to start healing?
Golly, I mean, that's a great question, Jody. And I think, of course, that's individual and different for everyone. But I think most of the time, I mean, what I typically see is that, you know, we kind of have to learn from doing it wrong before we do it right. So, you know, typically, I mean, you would think, and I do have some clients that kind of come to me like while they're still in the process and say, this is not going to break me. I want to come back from this strong. I want to model for my kids what this can look like, you know, and that happens. But more often than not, usually people have been divorced 1 to 3 years before, you know, they'll come and talk to me. And it's basically like, you know, the whole kind of beating themselves up of, I should be further along by now. I shouldn't still be struggling like this. Like what, you know, feeling like something's wrong with them because they are. And it's like, nothing's wrong with you. It's just, you have gaping wounds and we haven't tended to them. So, you know, that's the only thing. Like, let's just do that work and you're going to be fine.
Right. Wow. So. I love this. So, okay. So we're talking about intentionality basically.
Yeah.
So what is the first step after a divorce that you like to advise of, okay, let's start healing?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is just acceptance, you know, accepting the reality of where you are. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself, I mean, that sounds so simple. And I guess it is simple, but it's just not easy.
It's easier said than done, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. We keep finding ourselves wishing that it were different or thinking that it should be different. It shouldn't have happened this way. And it's like really just clawing your way to the belief that this is what happened. It was always going to happen this way. And how do I know that? Because this is how it happened. Mm-hmm. Like it really couldn't have happened any other way. So to go back and fantasize about it, you know, rehashing happening another way, right? It's just not useful. It's just not useful. So really, I mean, acceptance is the first step. And then something that I talk a lot about with my clients is forgiveness. Yeah. And I think that extends to yourself first, because sometimes there can be a lot of just, you know, self-hatred and just self-blame and, you know, all of those things, judgment around, I could have done this or I could have done that, or, you know, I wasn't the best wife and, you know, all of those types of things. But more often than not, it is, you know, mostly towards the ex.
The ex, yeah.
Yes. And I always just feel like if you can get to a place of forgiveness and just letting them off the hook in terms of they don't owe you anything anymore, and you can lose that victim lens.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest thing that's going to keep you stuck, is having this lens that you are the victim and they are the person who's hurt you.
Yeah.
And to the extent that you can extend them forgiveness, then that sets you free.
Huge amount of healing. Huge.
Yeah. And so something we spend a lot of time on, or I spend a lot of time on with my clients, is just rewriting that story. And so instead of telling it from a place of, you know, everything you've lost and everything he took and he did this and he did that, like, let's rewrite the story and cast yourself as the hero in your story and not the victim. And I think in terms of, you know, being intentional about creating your family culture, is like recognizing that when you rewrite your story, you're rewriting your family's story. Mm-hmm. It's really taking your power back and, you know, looking at it that, you know, I can tell this victim, you know, I can tell the story of everything that I lost, or I can tell the story of what I've gained through this experience. And here's the thing, both stories might be true. But the question is, where do you want to place your focus? Do you want to continue to focus on what you've lost, or do you want to start focusing on what you've gained? And it might be hard at first to figure that out, but you can figure it out.
Yeah.
We can rewrite that story together.
I love that. I love that. I definitely love that perspective of family culture is rewriting your story. And, or I like to say, it's like updating your stories, right? Like we're going forward, we're going to write a new story. Right.
And I love that. Yeah.
And so it's so good, because we can create this intentionality. And I like what you're saying, like you can live the victim or the hero. And to me, that's like, you can either live trying to escape the fear or the regrets, or, you know, the baggage, or you can create something new and you can go towards the thing that you want. And that is so much more powerful. It creates a different kind of energy. And I love how that's going to translate to how you're raising your kids, how your kids see the situation, and just accept that this is our new normal. This is our new reality. This is it. We're going to write our new story around that. This is our family. And like you say, this isn't broken. We're not broken.
Yeah,
exactly. We're just different.
We're different.
New. Well, yeah, we're, I mean, different, I mean, from the past, yes. Different from where we were.
Yes.
Exactly. New to in our new life and the new narrative of what we're going to create rather than what we're holding on to. And that's really
a powerful
powerful
place to be. And it's, you know, again, you are going to inadvertently give to your kids, like whatever it is you're believing. So if you're believing that you're disadvantaged and that you're less than, you know, in those victim stories, then that is what you will inadvertently pass along. But if you believe that, you know, I here's all the reasons I'm grateful for this. These are all the ways that, you know, the beautiful things that have happened in our life and in our experience that wouldn't have happened had we not gone through this experience. And when you can really focus your energy and your efforts there, then you're going to pass that along to your kids, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like intentionally looking for the way of how we can stand in our power, we can stand in love, you know. And I feel like that is the biggest, I mean, what I call my program is rebuilding your life from love. Because like, that's where we want to be, like, for, you know, loving ourselves and that just spilling over into all the people, right? Like even our ex.
That's a question I want to ask about. But before I do, I want to make a point about what you said is that those things that we want to overcome, that applies to everything in our lives, to be able to look at them as great, something to be grateful for, as an opportunity to heal and grow. And the reality is that all of the things that we experience as families, especially the traumatic ones, actually, or the ones that try us, those become shared experiences that actually shape our identity as a family. And so you can decide what that shared experience says about you and your family. Are you strong and resilient? And are you the hero of that experience? Or has it become a traumatic experience that becomes a point of pain and dysfunction and you know,
and it could become a point of definition.
Exactly.
If you're not careful. Yeah.
Exactly. So use that as an opportunity to define who your family is. Are we heroes or are we victims? No, we're heroes. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to the question about, you know, even taking that over to carrying that over to your relationship with your ex. That is a big point of defining your family culture as a divorced family, right? Because of how, you know, I have friends that are divorced and their ex is completely on a different track, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And yeah. So every time they have to send their children over to the ex's house, she just feels so upset and traumatized by it because everything that she's working towards in their family culture, he completely undoes.
Yeah.
And so how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, here's the thing about that, Jody, is that it is the only person that you can control is right here. And again, it comes back to that place of acceptance that your ex is who they are, right? And they get to be who they are. And it's actually not a problem that they are who they are. And so I think the thing that you have to focus, again, it's all about where you want to place your focus. Mm-hmm. Like you can place your focus on the fact that like, oh my gosh, they're undoing every single thing I'm doing. You know, you can choose to focus there. Or you can choose to focus on the fact that, you know what, I'm going to do the very best job that I can as far as it depends on me. And I'm just going to trust that that's enough.
Mm.
Because the truth is, you can't control it. You just can't control what someone else is doing. And I mean, if we could, I'd be all about it.
Yeah, right.
I love to control people.
Life would be very different. Yeah.
You kind of really just have to let that go. I mean, and that is for your own peace. And your own peace, again, contributes to your power. Because when you're in a place of peace, it allows you to be in that grounded place rather than in that triggered place all of the time. And so when these things do occur, you can really respond instead of react.
Like
you can just take that half a second pause.
Yes.
To decide how you want to respond. And again, that goes back to being powerful.
Perfect. I love that. Because even it's not just divorced parents that we have to deal with that either. Yeah, every time we send our kids over to to school, every time they go over to a friend's house, those things that we're trying to instill in them get undone. And so it's like, okay, I love that. I love that idea. Like, just be in your power, and that will really impact and influence your family in a big way, more than you can even, you know. And that to me translates also as grace, that you're going, I'm doing my best. And I'm going to live in my best, and I'm going to live in this place of doing my best and being heroic, so that that's how I'm showing up and I'm doing my best and whatever, you know, and I can't control what my kids decide to do. I can just love them.
Exactly. That's exactly all I can do. Right. Yes. Amen.
So awesome. So powerful. Okay. So I love this. So, okay. So what are you working on right now? What are you promoting? What can we recommend about you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so my website is jenniferbogard.com, but Jody, I'm a one-on-one coach, and I have a 3-month program. I call it Rebuilding Your Life from Love After Divorce. And kind of the focus of that program is really, we spend a whole month really looking at feeling your feelings and processing through your emotion. That's such a foundational part of your healing. The second month, we talk about rewriting your story and kind of taking your power back, you know, as part of that process, which is kind of what we spoke to earlier. And then lastly, we talk about casting a new vision for the future.
I love this conversation. I love that we can create the life that we want. And that translates, that's like my whole mission. We want to create, we want to be able to write our stories going forward. And whatever your situation is, if you are healing from a divorce, if you're healing from COVID, if you're healing, you know, if you're healing from, you know, mourning a loss or any of these things, right? This is our reality in a lot of people's lives, right? We're all going through something that we need that healing from, and that perspective that we're going to create our life going forward. The other thing I wanted to bring up with you is you are going to share a gift inside of my Family Success Toolbox. And so will you tell us a little bit about that, about the, you called it the feeling equals healing. Can you tell us what that is about?
Yes, absolutely. So feeling equals healing is basically just the process of processing your emotion. And we can't heal what we don't feel. And so this is just a very simple graphic, a very simple visual that you can just kind of keep handy to remind yourself that every time you start spinning, you know, again, to kind of keep you in that place of, you know, when you are feeling triggered and you have the emotion swirling, what can you do? How can you bring yourself back so that you're not constantly riding the waves of your emotions? Yeah. And so this is just a really simple process, just laid out in a visual that will just help you to do that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I will add that to the toolbox so that my audience has access to it, and it will link them to you as well. So they will all, it's awesome.
Thank you.
The resources that you're creating and the source of strength for families. And I just appreciate, I want to acknowledge that this is a beautiful work that you're doing. This philosophy that you're coming from is really powerful and beautiful. And so I want to acknowledge that and thank you. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Jody, so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Glad you're able to tune in for this episode of The Family Culture Movement. Don't miss the next episode with my incredible guest, Evans Putman, when we talked about a powerful meditation and visualization routine that he practices that brings joy and fulfillment into his life. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Family Culture Movement. Help more people find the show. Download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Success Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember to set your intentions for your family culture and lead your family toward your vision of success.